interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake. Based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Well, of course, it is the year 2012. A lot is happening. Everybody's been wondering what's going to come from above. Maybe it has finally begun, because a very weird object has been spotted and, in fact, captured on film, hovering around our sun. It's a spectacular and weird new UFO. It's being called the Lifesaver because it has a circular donut shape. Now, this was caught by the SOHO cameras. That's NASA's Solar and Heliospheric Observatory. There are people who sit there and just, you know, they scour those images and they obsess over them. And some of these spotters were the first ones to put these on YouTube. And they are, of course, now being pored over by thousands of people. It looks like that this green-colored, donut-shaped object might actually be shooting something like a laser to the sun. Either that or something laser-like is coming out of the sun and hitting the object. It's very weird. We're going to do our best to get this posted for you at speakingofstrange.com. And there is a lot more odd stuff happening in the skies right now. We'll get to that and a lot more. Hey, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. Mr. Should I call you world traveler?
Well, yeah, it's
domestic traveler.
It's going to definitely be hardcore. Traveler. I'm a traveling man. I'm a rambling rose. And I have been, you know, living in the middle of Manhattan for the past few weeks, Forrest.
Right.
And I've been to New York a few times and done, you know, the touristy things and a little bit of business here and there. But never have I woken up every day and had to step out of my hotel room into this never-ending ocean of people just battering each other, just cramming into every space. That just, it's like a chaotic system of insects that only pauses at the occasional traffic light, and the rest of the time, you're just never alone. And yes, New York is a big, glorious place, and it's a wonderful center of business, but maybe it's because I'm from the mountains, maybe it's because I'm of larger size, I'm 6'2", I'm 200 pounds, you're a big guy. I need a little bit more elbow and knee room after a while.
Right.
And I feel like I've been crammed into a box for months now because of all the traveling and airplanes, cars, whatever.
I suspect you need to come back with your New Yorker accent.
No. Honestly, I'd probably be speaking some other language because there are a lot of foreign languages being spoken in New York right now. In the hotel I stayed in, I would probably hear 4 or 5 different languages a day.
And that's just from the staff, right?
Yeah, in many cases. It really is a multicultural center. And it got on my nerves after a while, just always having so much activity and so many people around you all the time. So I'm very happy to be back here in the mountains. And, of course, I've been shooting this major TV series. And as a part of that series, I got to go at points to places that were so far out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I can't talk about it specifically, but we're basically, I and the couple of guys I was with, we felt like we were the only ones on the planet, and it was weird to go from that to the middle of Manhattan. So now I'm happy to be back in Asheville, and in a few days, I'm heading off, of course, to Transylvania, and then I'll be in the mountains once again, the Carpathians. And I will be heading there with, of course, investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. Good evening, Shelley.
Good evening.
We're going to have a bunch of our friends and colleagues. We're going to have Demented Patty.
Yes.
Patricia Dement. We're going to have Dave Schrader, Darkness Radio, Black Eyed Kids. You know, sure he'll have creepy stories. Lauren Warren will be there. A lot of people that I have met that you haven't met yet, Shelley, will be there.
I'm looking forward to it.
I hope that you have a great time.
I will.
You know, we've had our discussions about this, and this might be the last time we ever hear Shelley on the air.
No. I am going to have a wonderful time, although I have dreamed that I've been bitten twice now.
Really?
Yes. Don't know if that means anything.
Bitten by what?
A vampire.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're asking for it.
No, I am not.
So, this is going to be an amazing experience, and later we'll talk a little bit more about last words for this trip. But I want to talk some tonight about a couple things. For one thing, I will tell you, since I was in New York for the past few weeks, about a few of the things that I sort of bumped into and did that I think you will find interesting, just from a human interest perspective. Because, as you know, sometimes this show is my travel blog, right? I don't have time to sit down and write anymore, so I just come in here and talk about it for a little bit once in a while. So I'll tell you about a few interesting things that happened. And also, when I got back, I had a copy of the revised edition of my friend Brad Steiger's book here, Conspiracies and Secret Societies, the complete dossier, waiting for me. And have you ever seen the original version of this so far?
I think so.
Yeah, and it came out several years ago, and it shows you just how good it was that a book of this size could be so quickly revised. And we might, during the second hour, touch a little bit on some of the conspiracies and things that are breaking and making it in the news now. One of them that I find really interesting is about Osama bin Laden, because you've probably seen in the news, it's been about a year now since he was killed. And obviously you're always going to have these people who say, like, oh, he's not really dead. And I don't have any reason to believe that's the case. But there is some other weird stuff about the way that whole situation was handled. And Brad Steiger points some of that out, and I don't want to get too political about anything, but we all know it doesn't matter who's in office, who's in charge. When you've got secret missions going on out there, there are odd little things being done on the peripheries there to keep what really happened a secret. It's just like supposedly, you keep hearing
some guy who killed bin Laden is walking around this country right now. The guy who actually shot him in the head. If that's true, who is that guy? What is his life like? Anyway, we might get a little bit into conspiracies and secret societies, and that's always fun stuff to do. So, Shelley, you're going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yes.
From Wright's Coin Shop.
Yes.
How do the people at Wright's Coin Shop feel about that?
They're very happy for me.
Are they excited? Are they throwing you a going away party?
I don't know, actually. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're hoping that I bring them back a T-shirt or something.
Okay.
I think they'll miss me.
Well, you know, right now, there is a lot of interesting stuff happening in our town. And a lot of it does swirl around your kind of neck of the woods out there. You're off of Sweeten Creek Road.
Yes.
People are seeing a lot of UFOs out there now. Did you know that?
I heard about the sounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But now people are seeing UFOs. And, in fact, sometime this weekend, maybe even tonight, our local MUFON is having a meeting about it. And it's too bad that I couldn't have told people about this, you know, further in advance. But our local MUFON, they sent out a little update on just all the UFO activity that's been happening here around Western North Carolina. And they say here that there has been a constant stream of UFO sightings over the power plant next to Lake Julian, just south of Asheville. And that somebody got an incredible picture of one of these UFOs. And, in fact, slip over here for a second, Shelley, and take a look at this picture. It's my understanding that this image was taken near... Oh, now she's got to get her glasses out. She's an old lady. It's a green disc-shaped light, and it has sort of a stream of green light coming out of the back of it. And I looked at that, and at first I thought, well, that just looks like a reflection. But I can't really figure out what would create a reflection like that. So I don't know. You know, can you see it for us?
I saw it.
What do you think of this thing?
I don't know it.
Well, here's
the thing. I don't know.
Keep this in mind. Take a look at that, right?
Right.
Now, remember the story that I just read about this object that has appeared near the sun?
Right.
Okay. Now, look at the object near the sun. See? It's a green donut-shaped thing with, like, a laser beam shooting out of it. Or, I don't know if it's shooting out of it. It kind of looks like that, heading over toward the sun. What do you think? It looks similar, doesn't it? Two totally separate situations here. See that thing? And now this thing? Are we about to be invaded by green UFOs that are energized and they're drawing their power from the sun right now?
I hope not.
Well, okay, we got to take a break. And we'll try to get all this stuff up at speakingofstrange.com for you. When we come back, I'll tell you about, new life that's supposedly being found out there in space, maybe, and then also about a very interesting man that I met when I was in New York City. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual, and we're catching up tonight. We're relaxing. We're just sitting around here BSing, and we're happy to have you as a part of our listening family. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Whipping pastry, cruising down A Street, off white Lexus, driving so slow. club, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up in Tata, still sipping my tot. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New York.
Yet, speaking of strange, I am Joshua P. Warren. Been living right in the middle of Manhattan for weeks, working on this new TV series, and I look forward to being able to tell you all about it. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but I know the network is very happy with it and is going to be doing a lot of promotion before it comes out. And, you know, it's funny, I come back here to Asheville, and I see all these weird stories. A monkey escaped around here, right? You guys surely know this one. A monkey escaped in Asheville and started attacking people. I mean, that's just incredible. You'd think if a monkey escaped, it would just vanish. It would just disappear into the wild. But no, the monkey...
Not this monkey.
No. A woman said it bit both of her ears? I've never heard of such a thing. In fact, I may have mentioned this, I don't know, but there was an issue of Argosy magazine, kind of an old men's magazine that you could get in the 1960s, that a listener sent to me because it had an article about the Brown Mountain Lights in it. And so I was looking through this thing and having fun looking at the old ads. That's one of the best parts of looking through old magazines. And in the back, there was an ad for a monkey that you could buy. And it would be shipped to you from Florida. And it said, live delivery guaranteed for $18, including shipping and handling. $18 for a monkey. I think this was maybe like 1963. And guaranteed alive. You're not going to get a little dead monkey. And then, dead monkeys. Dead monkeys aren't much fun. And so somebody around here had a little monkey, I guess probably the same kind of monkey. And guess what? It is a dead monkey now. Did you know that, Shelley?
No.
They killed him.
They killed the monkey.
They killed that little monkey.
They did put it down.
They put him down.
Poor little monkey.
That's last I heard.
Sliced his brain open.
Yeah. They did experiments with him. Yeah. And so they have to do that for rabies. They look in their brain. Is that right? Wow. Okay. His name was Kusku. He must have been a mean little sucker.
Bite your ears off.
Yeah. See, that's what the terrorists are going to do, just release a bunch of monkeys in New York City. Hey, by the way, if you're listening online, don't forget, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tour, hauntedasheville.com, Facebook page, Twitter, all that. And again, Forrest, I want to thank you and Mr. Mobius for keeping some best ofs on the air.
Not a problem. I mean, we enjoyed hearing from the listeners and everyone associated with Speaking to Strange about what shows and what topics they wanted to hear.
That's cool. And it's been a little slower process than we thought to get some of the really, really old stuff transferred. But, you know, there's plenty out there. We're working on it. So, yeah, up in New York, I'll just tell you a few interesting things. You know, I met some interesting people. Before I get to that, I had never actually seen a Broadway show on Broadway. How about you, Forrest?
Yes.
Okay, what did you see on Broadway?
I've seen Tommy, I saw Cats, I've seen Will Rogers Follies.
Really?
I actually saw the Fantastics off-Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a cultured little sweetheart you are. I had no idea. See, ladies? He is the man of your dreams. I had never gone to a Broadway show on Broadway.
And Phantom.
You saw Phantom as well?
Yes.
Okay. Well, good for you. And so I figured this, I was going to do it this time because I had my weekends free. Now, the two big musicals, the two big Broadway shows that everybody talks about now are Spider-Man. Spider-Man is the most expensive Broadway musical ever produced, and it was delayed over and over again because guys were falling from the rigging and almost dying. Like, it's not easy to play Spider-Man or Green Goblin. Because these guys, they are hanging from all these wires and stuff, and they're flipping around. And, I mean, when Spider-Man, when he comes on stage, he's coming off that stage soon. And so it's kind of been the butt of a lot of jokes among the real Broadway community. And, like, the real Broadway people say, "Ugh, Spider-Man, you know, how dare you say that's a good musical?" So I went to see Spider-Man. And I sat right in the middle. It was a great seat. And let me tell you, I know that if I ever go back to New York and people identify me in the theater community, I'm going to be pelted with floppy things. But I think Spider-Man was great. I thought it was very entertaining. It was just a sensation, you know? I mean, it was just action-packed. Spider-Man, you know, he comes running off the stage and he swings right to the balcony in the back over everybody's head, and then Green Goblin's out there and they're fighting.
Didn't U2 do the music for that?
U2, yeah, Bono and The Edge, they did all the music, and Julie Taymor, who created the Lion King musical, she was the original director. They revised it numerous times. So I come out of Spider-Man, I'm like, wow, that was a lot of fun. It was worth what I paid to go see it. But then I told this to some theater guy, and he's, "Ugh, ugh, we could never be friends." I'm like, "Oh, well, what a pity. What a pity." And turns out, you know, the big darling on Broadway is the Book of Mormon, which is the Trey Parker, Matt Stone musical, which has won all the Broadway Tonys, you know, for best this and best that. And, you know, hey, I'm a big fan of those guys. South Park's funny. You know, we followed their work all the way back to Cannibal the Musical Farce. So I figured, fine, you know, I'll go see it. And everybody's laughing like, "You can't get a ticket to that. It takes 6 months. It's the most popular show in New York." So I decided, like, an hour before, I'm going to try to get a ticket to this thing. And sure enough, all the tickets were sold out, but then I met this little old lady on the street, and everybody says, "Don't buy tickets from people off the street." But I had a good feeling about it. I bought a ticket, and boom, I walked right in. Awesome seat. Nobody could believe that I got this fantastic seat to watch the Book of Mormon. And what I will tell you, not that you listen to this show for my Broadway reviews, is that Book of Mormon was funny. It was very crass and explicit and all that. It was funny, but if you saw, like, a bootlegged videotape of the Book of Mormon, it'd have about the same impact. It's just song and dance, typical Broadway show. You'd laugh at it, and you'd have the experience. But if you watched a tape of Spider-Man, not the same. You have to physically be there for that show. So I say, for your money's worth, go see the big spectacle. That said, enough Broadway talk. I got to see cool comedians, David Tell, if you're a fan of him, John Witherspoon from the movie Friday, the dad from Friday. I got to see some really funny people. One day I go walking into the set, and there was a group of technicians who were kind of gathered in this one little area. And there was a heavy set guy with a mustache sitting there, kind of a balding fellow. And one of the technicians comes up to me and says, "You see that guy sitting over there with the mustache?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know who he is?" "No." "That's the guy who wrote Jaws." And I said, "Wow, is that Peter Benchley?" He's like, "No, the movie Jaws. That guy wrote, that dude sitting right there is named Carl Gottlieb. And he wrote Jaws." So, of course, I went over there and we start talking to this fella. And he starts telling us all these stories about writing Jaws and being on the set. And he also, as a side note, if you're a fan of the movie The Jerk with Steve Martin, he played the part of Iron Balls. That said, So I'm talking to this guy about writing Jaws, and one of the producers says to him, recently, the best line in the history of Hollywood was voted to be, we're going to need a bigger boat. Did you write that line? And Carl Gottlieb says, well, you know, it's funny. He says, I did have a co-writer, and he said, I thought he wrote it, and he thought I wrote it. And he said, we could never figure out which one of us wrote it, so we figure Richard Dreyfuss must have just said that. He must have just come up with that on the set. So, you know, it's just funny little quirky things like that that I would kind of like bump into people who had occupied some weird role. When we come back, I'll tell you a few more stories about some interesting things that I did in New York. And then we'll get into some of this, you know, typical weirdo news. But I've had a very thought-provoking past few weeks. And I can't imagine what it's going to be like after this next trip. This is insane. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. My sense is real. Feeds of attraction. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, the musical that you can hear Bono singing there. Bono and the Edge made all the music. So the whole thing kind of sounds a little bit like U2 music, actually. I kind of feel like all U2 music kind of sounds the same. It's all pretty, you know, it depends. I guess that's the good thing and the bad thing about it, you know. Kind of grows on you after you hear it for decades, but
yeah, it takes me like 15 years to like a U2 song.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Same for you, Shelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think honestly, getting out on a limb here, I think Bono's a little self-righteous, thinks he's more important than he is.
But a lot of women think he is it. He is the you know what, you know. Do you feel that way about Bono, Shelley?
No.
Really?
No.
You're not just like, oh, Bono. Yeah. He's like, he'd be the greatest thing that could ever happen if he just whipped down in a helicopter. And he tilted his glasses
maybe
down.
Bono stare.
Yeah.
No.
And it says, I want you. And he just sweeps you up onto his chopper and flies you off to Ireland, where he's got a castle probably, and there are women just,
Isn't he married with, like, 15 kids or something?
I don't know. Who cares, right?
Well, who cares?
Bono!
That Bono is for someone else.
This is Speaking of Strange, by the way. the show where the unusual becomes usual. You know, there's this new place called Times Scare. Have I told you about this, Shelley?
I'm not sure.
Probably not. You probably haven't heard. Have you heard this before?
I think so. I think you've mentioned it to me.
Oh, have I? Okay.
Yeah.
It's not been there very long, less than a year, and it's right there in the middle of everything in Times Square. But Times Square is a weird combination of like a paranormal bar and restaurant with a haunted house with like a place where they do bizarro magic shows.
Ooh, I want to go.
It sounds really cool, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so, and everything is very, very gothic and weird. So I went there one evening by myself. I just kind of stumbled into the place out of the rain, actually. And it was not very busy that day in New York because it was really rainy. So I got to sit around and kind of, you know, talk to people a little bit about what I do. And the food there was really good. And I had some, like, they have like a Slimer drink, which is green, or, you know, you can imagine some vampire drinks, bloody red. So I saw the magic show, which is pretty good. And then, I was about to leave, and at this point, word had spread that there was a guy there who is with the TV business, blah, blah, blah. So they said, we need to introduce you to the owner. So I got introduced to the owner, and he was a real nice fella, and we were talking about our mutual interest. And I was about to leave, and he said, have you been through our haunted house yet? And I said, no, but I got to get out of here. He's like, oh, no, you have to go through the haunted house. This is like, you know, this is one of the best haunted houses in the world. This is, you know, you're in the middle of Times Square here. You know, this is a masterpiece. It's the most terrifying experience. You have to go through this. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I like the sound of this. You know, I'm by myself here, and I'm like, I'm the TV guy. They're going to, you know, they're really going to, like, hand it to me. So I say, yeah, you know, I get... No, seriously, you got to... So, I got to the point where I didn't want to look like a little wuss, right? So, fine. Now, when I say alone, I mean alone. There were no groups of people in front of me. There was nobody behind me. I walked into this place, and I knew within, like, 2 minutes I'd screwed up. This is just a terrible decision. Why did I do this? So... These guys who operate this haunted house, these creatures, they gave it 110%.
I'm sure.
And I was just running through it screaming. Just, ah! Well, I could not get, it wouldn't end! I couldn't get out of it! You know, and it's like they were just ganging up on me. Freddy Krueger and all these little creepy people. What?
I bet you were running through it so quickly it wouldn't end because I used to work in a haunted house for a few years. There are false walls that they can move and you just keep circling.
Well, I just wanted to get the hell out of there. For me, it wasn't fun. That's just me. Wasn't fun. It was just a terrifying, horrible, scary experience. And I was never so relieved when the doors burst open and I was finally outside in the rain again. And I just stood there and was like, oh, I need a cigarette.
No.
So I guess that's good for them.
Right.
But for me, it's like, hey, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be. I could have a heart attack in there, you know? So, and they claimed that they didn't. Later I called the owner. I said, thanks for scaring the you-know-what out of me, you know. That was... And he says, oh, we've got an even better, superior one that we're working on. I said, what can you do that's more superior than that? I will never go through it again, I tell you that. But I started thinking, how many people have ever gone through like a real haunted house totally by themselves? Without, again, being in a line when there's nobody in front of you, nobody behind you. How many people have done that? Forrest, have you ever done that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever done that?
Oh, you don't mean living in a real haunted house alone.
Okay, yeah, I'm not talking about that. No, seriously. It's not. Nobody does that. It's not. Nobody thinks to do that. And I should have realized before I walked in there by myself, this is going to suck really, really badly.
It sounds fun.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, Look, you'll be in New York sooner or later, and I will have them make special arrangements for you, just like was made for you. Now, she says she likes to go to the dentist, remember? So
yes.
Her wires are a little bit crossed somewhere, and you know, there's been a miscalculation in the synapses somewhere. So maybe you will like it.
I told you I went on a haunted hayride this past October, right?
By yourself?
No, I went with Demented Patty and a friend of hers. But I was ahead. I was having so much fun. I'm smiling and having a great time. And I think I got asked out by one of the monsters.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
So something else that I mentioned, and I'll just mention this quickly. One of my friends up there said that he wanted to take me to a very interesting place. So I met him about 8 o'clock at night on a corner, and we went into this little hot dog shop that was below the street, just a cramped little hot dog store. There are tons of little shops all over New York. And I'm like, why did he take me here? Well, there's an old phone booth on the wall, and he said, give me just a second, and he walked into the phone booth. I thought, doesn't he have a cell phone? Why is he going into the phone booth? He goes in there, he picks up the phone, he dials, and I'm just looking through the glass watching him, hangs up the phone. On the other side, back of the phone booth, opens up, hidden door. There's a woman there, and she's talking to him, and he's talking to her, and the door closes back up, and he comes walking out, and he says, I think we might be able to get in, but I'm not sure. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? He says, you'll see. So we wait like 5 minutes. He goes back in there again by himself. He picks up the phone, dials, door opens, woman talks to him, closes it back. So he comes back out. He says, I got a really good feeling if we just wait like 5 more minutes. 5 more minutes, same thing. He goes in, talks to the lady. She opens this hidden door, looks over his shoulder at me, looks at him, and goes, okay, come on. So nobody else in this hot dog store is aware of what's happening over here. So my friend and I won't use his name without his permission, my friend and I go into this phone booth together. We go through the hidden door, and we are now in this old speakeasy. The lighting is really dim. It's crowded with people, just bunches of people in there. They're all kinds of weird animals stuffed all over the place in bizarre positions. And I went and I sat down at the bar, and the bartender says, we like to specialize in creating the weirdest, most unique drinks in all of New York. Here's our list. And he puts this list out there, and I'm looking at all these concoctions, and I said, just give me the weirdest thing you got. Let's just go right for it. Just let's shoot right for the bottom. You're the bartender. And even he was like, I got to think about that for a minute, you know. So finally he goes, I got it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what the drink was, or as much as I know about it, that I got served in the speakeasy. And then I'll tell you one more little thing that you'll find interesting about New York. And then we're going to be in our number two, where we're going to dig into some conspiracies and more weird news. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Seems my daddy has dated me before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about twice a year. final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, again, we're digging into just more of the weird news that's been happening. We've got a good dark 30 hour for you later on. And we're going to talk a little bit about the conspiracies and secret societies. And don't forget, show brought to you in large part by sunshinesimple.com. That's right, the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. If you want to see what it's all about, watch a brief demo. Go look at me, give you a demo in the video at sunshinesimple.com, the world's most powerful solar generator for the home for the price. So here I am in a speakeasy at an undisclosed location in New York City. I've entered it through the hidden back panel, I guess I could say concealed back panel, of an old phone booth. So I told the guy, the bartender, in this dimly lit establishment, which kind of reminded me a little bit of Los Eisley. Right? For the Star Wars fans out there. Give me the weirdest thing. And he thought for a while. And now, mind you, I'm not the kind of guy, I don't eat like bugs and stuff. I don't mean by that, give me something disgusting. I just want something that's odd. So he mixed up something for me. And honestly, I don't remember everything that was in it for a number of reasons. But I do know that it included whiskey and a bunch of other, you know, liquors. He put celery in it and absinthe in it and just blended all this stuff together into this thick, green, frothy thing. And that could have been the Slimer, right? That could be the new Slimer drink. And I'm very familiar with absinthe, but, you know, you start mixing absinthe with all these other weird things, you don't know what it's going to taste like. I see you're grimacing there, Forrest, yeah. And so I drank it, and it was, I guess, pleasant. I wouldn't say it was great. It was not nearly as bad as it could have been. But talk about getting you messed up. So I ended up saying, well, what's next on the list, you know? So let's say I slept very well that night after we left the speakeasy. That's one of the things you do to entertain yourself in a place like New York. You know, you're going around and finding little special things in nooks and crannies. But I'll tell you about a little experiment that I did up there. You know, when you're right there in Times Square, there are a lot of people promoting things. They're handing out coupons. They're trying to give you tickets. They're, you know, trying to drag you in some door somewhere. And I had a conversation with one of the guys I was working with up there about sort of how skeptical and suspicious and apathetic that mankind is, because everything is so commercial nowadays that walking down the street, you know, people don't trust each other. And as an off-the-cuff example of this, I took a $20 bill out of my pocket. And I said, you know, I'm just going to stand here on this corner and just give somebody this $20 bill and just see how long it takes for somebody to take this from me. So I'm standing there, and now, mind you, Times Square, okay, this is one of the busiest spots on earth. Just, you know, tons of people passing through every hour. And I'm standing there saying, free $20. Who wants a free $20? No strings attached, sir. You want a $20 bill? No, thank you. No, thank you. Ma'am, $20. No, that's all right. How about you? $20. And this went on for 9 minutes before somebody took that $20 bill from me. And it was a couple of young ladies. And by young, I mean like probably early 20s. And one said to me, so what do I have to do? I said, nothing. It's your lucky day. Just take it. It's $20. So she sheepishly, you know, took the $20 bill out of my hand. And she's like looking it over. And she says, no, really. I said, no, have a good day, you know, that's all. And so she's looking at me like I'm insane, and they finally just disappear back off into the crowd. And so it was just a great example of how that you can cause people to disbelieve that something good is going to happen to them, even if you put it right in front of their faces. So we keep doing experiments like this and videotaping it. And what we found is if you put a $1 bill out there, people will take it from you much faster than if it's a 20. And the higher the denomination, the more people disbelieve that you're just giving it away. So, I mean, you could stand there on the sidewalk with, you know, maybe like $1,000 to give away. And theoretically, it would take longer for somebody to receive that from you. But again, that's only in New York. I don't know how. I mean, if we stood outside Wright's Coin Shop and just gave away gold all day, Shelley, do you think that would be difficult?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Maybe we'll try that experiment next. I'll videotape it.
I would rather you try your $20 experiment right here, right now.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the conspiracies related to Bin Laden. Just a few, you know, issues from conspiracies and secret societies, the complete dossier. And then we're going to dig back into all this weird news that's been piling up. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange.